Live and in color from the NBC News Radio Broadcasting Studios of KCAA, 1050 AM, 102.3 FM, and 106.5 FM, located in beautiful Southern California and in parallel from the Turf's Up Radio Studio in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Thanks for tuning in to the Water Zone Show this evening.
Hey, and a good evening to everybody across the United States, and hope everybody's doing well. I'm your host, Rob Starr, along with the best host I know, Mr. Chris Davies. How you doing, Chris?
Awesome, man. You know, it's Earth Day today, Rob. Earth Day started in 1970, first celebrated April 22nd in 1970, and now, as of today, there are more than a billion people who participate in EarthDay.org, and those billion people represent 193 countries. Happy Earth Day, Rob.
Well, happy Earth Day. And, you know, it's a good day today. I think we should make an announcement we were going to do last week, but we got it confirmed today, so I will say that. Coming up in May, starting in mid-May, we are blessed to have the chairman of the board of Kellogg's Garden Products, who will be doing a biweekly segment for us, and it's What's the Scoop About Soil? And so she's pretty much of a big expert. Her products are sold all over the country under Kellogg's and D&B Organics. And she's certainly an expert at telling us about it and answering questions from our listening audience. So we do appreciate that. It's going to happen. And tonight we got a special thing going. You want to mention what we're going to listen to?
Absolutely. So today there is a special event sponsored or actually put on by the Irrigation Association, of which Rob and I are members. And it's sort of a special Earth Day event, and it's called Spring Sprinkler Spruce Up. So say that three times fast, Rob.
I can't. I wasn't even drinking. So we're ready. We're going to be ready to dive into this thing, and we'll be talking to you in the middle of it and then at the end of it. And this is good for everybody who's got sprinkler systems, and it's going to teach you a lot of stuff and about what's happening with water sense and such. So here we go.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our latest digital event from the Irrigation Association. My name is John Farner. Thank you so much for joining us. For those of you that are live in person on the webinar, thank you. For those who don't know, we are actually going to be streamed live, or going to be streamed tonight on KCAA Radio in California as part of the Water Zone program out there, and again, podcasted, as well as being podcasted on the Bringing Water to Life podcast channel. So all kinds of different ways to view and listen to this content today. And the actual recording with us in person is going to be on the Irrigation Association's YouTube page. Very excited today. I want this to be as interactive as possible for those of you that are joining us live. So if you do have any questions, please type them into the Q&A box. We have a lot of good content. We want this to be a pretty informal conversation. I'm going to be talking to our guests about different things that they're working on, but we want you to be a part of this as well. And the only way to do that is for you to type that into the Q&A, and I will be sure to bring your question up to our folks joining us today. So with that said, we want to talk a little bit about the fact that it's springtime, weather's changing, and it's time for the sprinkler spruce up. So first, I'm going to welcome Julius Duncan. If you want to turn on your camera, Julius, say hi to everybody. Julius, I've known Julius. How long have I known you, Julius, since you joined WaterSense?
Hey, I've been at WaterSense since about 2016, and I think you were one of the first people I met from outside
I'm
the agency.
Sorry.
So it's been since then. It's been a while.
Good. So 2016, that's about 5 years ago. Great. So you are with the WaterSense program. What do you do with WaterSense?
So at WaterSense, I am with the outdoor sector of that program. So I help to develop tools and resources for irrigation professionals and homeowners, property managers, about ways that they can learn about water efficient products and practices.
Okay. So let me take a step back real quick. And Deborah, I'm introducing you in a second, but we're going to take a step back right here and pretend that no one knows anything about WaterSense. Okay. So let's step into a world where no one knows anything about WaterSense. What is your elevator pitch on what WaterSense is?
Elevator pitch. We are a EPA voluntary partnership program that started in 2006. It helps to develop specifications and help to identify water efficient products, practices, homes, and programs. That's the elevator pitch.
Yeah. And the Irrigation Association was actually one of, if not the first partner with WaterSense. I always say we were in the hospital giving birth to the baby with the EPA on this program back in 2006. Predates me a little bit. I joined in 2008, but I know we've been with you guys lock and step since then, trying to promote the program, getting the word out, and really focusing in on that voluntary aspect of promoting efficient water use, in this case, outdoor water use. So let's also introduce Deborah Burden, correct? Deborah Burden? I never use your last name, right?
Yes, Deborah Burden. Hi. Okay,
very good. And Deborah, you're with Citrus County Department of Water Resources. That is in Florida, correct?
Yep, Central Florida.
So Central Florida, where exactly? Where is your service area? If people don't know, they know where Florida is, but where is Citrus County?
On the West Coast, about an hour and a half north of Tampa. So we're most famous for our manatee season here in the winter. We get 600, 800 manatees join our area.
Awesome. Have you gone out and like enjoyed that? That's pretty amazing. That'd be like, I want to go down there and see that. That's pretty awesome.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We have springs, parks that you can go to, and the manatees congregate there because the springs stay 72 degrees all year long. So very visible during the winter.
Julius, did you know this about that? Did you know this?
I did not know that fact. I actually have visited Tampa a few times, so I've seen at least one time where the manatees have come into the bay, but I did not know more facts than that.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. So Deborah, you're with... Go ahead, real quick, go ahead.
I was going to say, we have three first magnitude springs here, so many opportunities. Wow.
It's pretty awesome. And Deborah, you're with the Department of Water Resources. What do you do at the Department of Water? What is your role there?
So my title is Water Conservation Manager, and my role is basically to help customers reduce their water use. So demand management, customer side. We work with rebate programs, education. We have water-friendly landscaping coordinator who does classes. So we really try and focus on all ends of customers' water use and how we can help them.
Very good. And what is your service area? What size is your service area?
Let's see. We have close to 24,000 accounts, so 50, 60,000 customers, citizens that we serve.
Great. Good. And what, so I asked Joyce about WaterSense, what has been just generally, because we're going to do a deep dive and just peeling the onion away right here. What is your partnership or history been with WaterSense?
Well, we joined WaterSense 5 or 6 years ago, and we use a lot of their marketing materials and kind of integrated WaterSense into all of our programs to help our customers easily identify products that will save them water. Specifically, the sprinkler spruce up, we focus on come springtime each year. In Florida, we irrigate year-round, but in springtime, we know they're going to start gearing up, and we want their systems to be checked on. And we actually have staff that can help customers that don't know how to do a checkup. So we use the sprinkler spruce up campaign to ask customers to do it themselves, and if they don't know how, they'll give us a call.
Good. All right. I'm going to talk about Spruce Up specifically in a second. But first, let's talk about the Julius and WaterSense. So we talked about what WaterSense is. That's not the irrigation component of that. And then we're going to go into Sprinkler Spruce Up. So, and I know you have some slides. So if you want to refer to your slides and share your screen, and we'll explain, you know, what people are seeing for those of folks that are listening on the radio tonight and podcast it later on. But right now there are, if you were to go to a landscape technology distribution company, you would see some technologies, irrigation technologies there that have the WaterSense label on them, correct?
Right.
So which ones are we talking about here?
Yeah, so WaterSense right now, we have three categories of WaterSense labeled irrigation products. So we've got the spray sprinkler bodies with integral pressure regulation, and kind of to give an idea of what that is, it's not the whole sprinkler, it's the part that's connecting the irrigation supply line to the sprinkler head and that nozzle. And that contains a component that helps to maintain a consistent pressure throughout the sprinkler so that you're not losing water through the spray. And then the other two are in the category of overarching irrigation controllers, but we have weather-based irrigation controllers as a category and then soil moisture-based irrigation controllers. And the soil moisture-based is actually our most recently labeled product category. As of, I believe, February of this year, we were finally able to get that one done. And I think you may have been with us at the beginning of the inception of
Julius. I remember walking into the halls of EPA and had a stack of papers and said, this is the latest SWOT testing protocol for your consideration. Yeah. That was many, many, many moons ago, because I know this process has taken a while, but we appreciate you guys being steadfast and focusing on that. We're excited about this coming to a finish line.
It went through a few iterations, but we finally got it done, and it was a really proud moment.
Yeah, that's really exciting. And then, so in addition to, and then we're going to move on here, but in addition to those technologies, you also have a homes program. So whole homes can be labeled,
right,
as well as irrigation professional. So if different certifications are labeled by WaterSense, the irrigation associations are, as well as some others out there. So an individual can also hold irrigation certifications that are labeled by WaterSense.
Right, exactly. And those certifications for professionals are within, there's design professionals, there's maintenance and installation. And then the largest category we have is irrigation auditors. And many of the other professional certifying organizations you mentioned really focus on that auditing sector. And I know with IA, you all have a lot of different categories of professionals that you certify, which has really been great to see.
Very good. So it's April 22nd, and we're getting into spring months, even though it feels like it's snowing in many parts of the United States right now, and it's cold in the Northeast, but we're getting the irrigation season in many areas. And Deborah, you mentioned Florida. You do irrigate year round, but this is an opportunity for you, as you said, to really go out there and look for opportunities to take advantage and perform necessary maintenance to the irrigation systems. So Julius, talk a little bit about what Sprinkler Spruce Up is. What is this program you guys have?
Sure. And to kind of describe that, as you mentioned, I had a few slides available. Most of them were introduction, but I'll just share my screen real quick to go over. I have a slide just about Sprinkler Spruce Up. So if you give me just a second.
And again, for those who are viewing or listening to the radio, this is available at the Irrigation Association's YouTube channel. So check that out. Get it by youtube.com and search Irrigation Association. Or we will go ahead and just explain to what you're seeing right now. So go ahead, Julius.
Yep. And so you should be seeing the slide that focuses on Sprinkler Spruce Up here. And this is our campaign that we normally focus on during May. But we realize, as you mentioned, throughout the country, everyone regionally may have different times that they're starting up their sprinkler systems, or in some cases, they may have just reduced it over those like end of the year months and increased starting later on. And in Sprinkler Spruce Up, what we try to encourage everyone to think about is to inspect, connect, direct, and select. And what you'll see on the screen is our four social media graphics that we've used to kind of really promote this. And it's our WaterSense spokesgallon Flo, who is our the mascot for our program, and shows her doing some of the examples of how to what to look for during Sprinkler Spruce Up. So inspect for broken or damaged sprinkler heads, especially as the winter season comes out and you may have had that frozen pipes that may have burst. So checking for that. Connect hose and pipes to reduce leaks. Direct sprinklers away from the hardscapes and anywhere else that you may be losing water, like if it's pointing towards a wall. And then lastly, we always encourage people to select WaterSense labeled controllers and WaterSense labeled products to water smarter. I'll go ahead and stop sharing. And that's really what we want to encourage with Sprinkler Spruce Up.
Great. And we'll come back to you in a second. I want to incorporate Deborah here. So Deborah, that was a good outline of what the campaign is. As the water conservation manager for Citrus County, How does this fall into your efforts? Like, how do you take advantage of this type of campaign? Again, if you want to refer to any slides you may have, please feel free to share your screen or you can just talk about it yourself.
Yeah. So, we do irrigate all year, but it's not necessary to irrigate it the same amount. So we reduce it in the wintertime. And even with our large rainfall, some customers can go months without irrigating. So come spring, we want to encourage our customers to, get out there, check out their, do their sprinkler spruce up. So we send out information in our bill inserts. We use some of those nice infographics that WaterSense produces in our social media and really just kind of let our customers know that this is the time to look at your system before you turn it on to irrigate full blast for the next 9 months at least. Yeah.
Great. And Julius, these graphics that you showcase, can anybody use those in terms of their promotion and work with their customer base and things like that?
So those graphics are available through our partner website. So anyone who is a WaterSense partner would have access to those. But there are other graphics, both infographics and brochures that we have available on the WaterSense website, available for anyone to view and use that for their own social media or anything else they'd like to use them for.
How does someone become a partner? I know, like, we are a professional certifying organization. I think we're also a promotional partner. Can anybody become a promotional partner? How does that work?
So we have quite a few categories of ways that groups can become partners. Primarily, I think the largest group is going to be the promotional partners. And that is just about any organization across the board. If you're planning to incorporate water efficiency into your goals or into your sustainability goals, that's generally what we're looking for. And you can apply to become a WaterSense partner, and it's free. We're an EPA program, so we're not charging anyone to become a partner. You just send in your application. And then, as you mentioned, you are also with the professional certifying organization partners, which those are the people who were the organizations that train irrigation professionals. And so that's more specific category, but we also have utilities as partners or our water providers, and manufacturing partners and distributors and retailers. So it's quite a lot of categories.
So Deborah, let's talk a bit about your outreach with, let's say your the contractors that perform the irrigation work in your service area. What type of, you can talk about this under the umbrella of Sprinkler Spruce Up, or you can talk about it just in general. What kind of outreach do you do with them? Is there an education component? Do you prepare them with information? What types of things do you do that, quite frankly, can be replicated elsewhere for people are looking for ideas?
Well, we have staff in-house that actually go out and do perform brief sprinkler checkups, the system checkups. And they go out prepared with flags and maps and make notes of inefficiencies. And so we leave behind both notes on the map and flags so that the customers can communicate with their contractors and make those adjustments that need to be fixed.
Okay. And so what are some of the key things that they look at? Like, is do they run a full audit, or is it just looking at how it performs? Do they just visualize it? What are some of those key things that your staff looks at?
Well, we look at a few things. First, we want to do a leak check. So we're going to use our meter to check for leaks. We're going to walk the system into test mode, look for those potential issues and to flag them and make notes for the customer. And we're also going to teach them how to use their irrigation controller, because we find so many of our customers just don't know how to use it. And a big water saver is making those seasonal adjustments if you haven't already installed that WaterSense labeled controller. So we want to get those components done while we're on site.
And what are the are there any regulations, either local, ordinance, or statewide, of different technologies that must be incorporated in your service area?
Florida has a statute that that says that they must have a rain sensor installed on any automatic irrigation system. And I think that would be the only thing that would apply. So when we come across a home that doesn't have one, we have a rebate for that. And we just give an application and say, you know, follow up with your contractor and have one installed, and we'll give you a credit on your water account of $50.
And then, so do you guys perform any other rebates in your area that you've seen work, or is it just primarily for the rain sensors?
Yeah, actually we do. We have the WaterSense labeled irrigation controller rebate. And we have really been gearing that up for 4 or 5 years now. I'll share some slides and a little bit about that, but we do offer $100 credit on customers' accounts if they install a WaterSense labeled irrigation controller.
Great. So let's talk about that real quick. Julius, what is your relationship, not relationship, that's the wrong way of phrasing it, but you guys have, in addition to Citrus County, you guys have partners with water providers throughout the United States. And so what are some of the things you work with them on? Is it these rebates? Is it these type of programs where Deborah's talking about having their own staff go out? What are some examples that you've done with these type of partnerships with your water provider partners with WaterSense?
And a lot of what WaterSense has helped with our partners is both developing some of the materials, promotional materials they can use, but also things like sprinkler spruce up. And recently we just had Fix a Leak Week, where we have these campaigns that we're encouraging our partners to use those resources throughout their social media and to reach out to their customers in order to help spread the word about water efficiency. And so I would say that's a lot of the main things that I've also, when talking with our partners on, have really encouraged participating in some of these campaigns and using those resources. We have social media graphics, we have brochures, case studies as well for a technical audience. So we have a lot of different things that we've done to help with our utilities in their promotional activities.
And this is nationwide too, because I know that when people think of irrigation, they may think of Florida, Deborah, they may think of California, they may think of states like Arizona, Colorado, not necessarily Maryland or Pennsylvania, you know, the Northeast, but really it's nationwide, right? You have engagement coming from everywhere.
Right, exactly. And we reach out to all of our partners around the nation. Even just yesterday, I was on a different webinar with our partners in the Connecticut area and talking with them again about sprinkler spruce up and reaching that audience as well. So we definitely work with partners nationwide.
And Deborah, let's go back to you real quick. And I'm looking at some of the notes that I have here and some of the things that I wanted to highlight with you. And one of the things, you know, you talked a bit about a leak check and you kind of walked through that, but then also let me ask this two ways. One, are they looking for anything else specifically that you haven't mentioned yet? And two, what are some of the more common problems that your folks have experienced when doing this type of sprinkler spruce up or inspection or just seeing how the irrigation systems are run?
That's a good question. So the leak check, we find that they're pretty common. And we can use the meter, turn off all the water, use inside and outside the house, and write down the numbers and see if it changes. And most of our meters have a leak detection triangle or some other shape that shows even minute uses of water flowing through. And so once we see that there is water flowing through, and you'd be surprised, it's like 20-30% of the cases that we go out there is some sort of flow. We want to narrow it down, so we'll turn off the valve at the house and try and isolate whether it's inside or outside. So that's one thing that we do for that leak check. And there was a second part to that question. What was it?
So do you guys, what are some of the more common things you guys have seen? the problems
with
irrigation
system? Well, one of the most popular grasses here is St. Augustine. It's very aggressive, and it can very easily cover the irrigation heads. So we often find that the heads are covered if they're not regularly maintaining the system and doing these checkups on a regular basis. So when we're walking the system, we're often, pulling grass back and finding buried heads or soft spots where there's a head broken or, you know, sprays that are misaligned or covered by shrubs and things like that.
So we did get a question from Jay. Do you all check the rain sensor during this process at all? Like make sure that it's working properly?
Yeah, we do. One of my staff actually created a device that's on the end of a PVC pole so he can directly dump water into the rain sensor. But without that, they can also use a hose to spray up at the rain sensor and see if it does turn off the irrigation system. So yeah, we do regularly check.
Have you guys patented that now where you're going to patent it and sell it and...
I'll have to mention that to him.
Yeah, right. Just, hey, whatever works,
Yeah, it is pretty high up. It's...
Yeah, and I know I asked you about, regulations in your area, Deborah. I do know this is, Joyce, this isn't something that WaterSense is working on. You guys are a voluntary program. I can't reiterate that enough. You're not a regulatory program within WaterSense. However, some states have picked up mandating the sale of if a sprinkler is sold in that state, you need to have that pressure compensating component to it and have gone towards the WaterSense label for that. Now, I will say again, that's not something WaterSense is doing proactively. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you're not, as a federal agency, you're not out there telling states to go and mandate this. But other third party organizations are, and there are a handful of states out there that are looking at mandating that in their irrigation systems for when sprinklers are replaced or sold in that state. So, I encourage those distributors and contractors that are out there to make sure that you're complying with your state regulations and looking at the different technologies that are sold. Specifically, Jay mentioned California, Colorado, there are a handful of others out there that have either passed a bill or this year and next year really rolling them into being implemented now. So with that said, Deborah, did you have some slides you did want to share? I don't want to take that away from what you're
I mentioned, let me see if I can share a slide here.
Yeah.
Okay, so Rob, maybe we can butt in here for a quick sec.
Absolutely. So when Deborah's doing her looking for slides to remind our listeners, you can also go to www.kcaaradio right now.
Not yet,
and you
no.
Can see this, you can
and that's
this,
okay if you're able to. I have more slides. Questions, believe me. We can keep going.
Okay.
So, I'll tell you what, let's go to let's
great
go to
information
you can,
we're getting.
If it pops up and I'll see that you're able to share it, that's fine. But oh, there we go. Deborah, there it is.
Okay. Yeah.
Go for it. Back up.
This is very interesting for those on radio, by the way, I'm sure. But go ahead.
So we do have a direct install program of WaterSense labeled irrigation controllers. And just for those that, I'll just kind of reiterate what Julie said. They're weather-based controllers. They act like a thermostat for the sprinkler system to better match plants' needs all year long. And they are independently certified. I believe last time I looked, there were over 700 models available. They're really convenient for homeowners as well as contractors because many of them offer that remote ability. And they offer water savings to not only, they offer water savings, which is my goal, obviously, but they're going to offer money savings to the customer. And that just makes customers happy. So it's good for everybody when customers can save money. And so this is just a graphic that I borrowed from one of the manufacturers that kind of shows that a standard irrigation controller, it's going to apply the same amount of water every day or every week based on what you tell it to water. It's not going to change unless, of course, that rain sensor interrupts it versus the WaterSense labeled irrigation controller where it's really looking at the temperature and all those ET factors, and reducing irrigation, and we can really see significant savings during those cooler months. And lastly, I'm going to go over some results that we had from the first two phases of that direct install program. You know, we target our high water users for that program. So users that are averaging more than 21,000 gallons a month over a 12-month period. And we also emphasize that every citizen that participates in this program, we go out, we do that little irrigation checkup, and we teach them how to use the irrigation controller. Studies have shown that the savings are going to be greater if we do that. And we have found that. Our first phase, it cost us about $20,000. We installed 50 irrigation controllers. We saw a reduction, an average reduction in water use of 38% for an annual savings of 8 million gallons. And we estimate the life of the product is about 10 years, so almost 80 million gallons for a $20,000 project. Pardon me. And in phase two, we installed 87 controllers with a 29% reduction. Just under 9 million gallons were saved that year, and a life of project savings of just under 90 million. And so we're very grateful that we have grants coming in from the Southwest Florida Water Management District and the Withlacoochee Regional Water Supply Authority that split this funding with us. So we're only putting in about 25%. I'll stop sharing my screen now.
Oh, can you do me a favor? I was going to catch you there. Do me a favor. Can you share it again? Because you stayed on the first slide there. We weren't able to see that last slide to reference the numbers that you were talking about. I was going to ask you about that program while we switched that slide. So okay. Let's go ahead and put that up real quick. And I'm going to ask you some questions that, you know, for those in the radio they can follow along, I'm sure, as well, because we do have a lot of interest from our audience, our live audience, regarding right, but there we go. So perfect. Let's leave that up for a second so people can see the different installations. And again, if anyone has any questions that are here live, please type them into the Q&A. So I'm just going to go in order here. Michael asks, do you check nozzles for correct application based on its rotation relative to others on the same zone?
So this is where I would say I am not the person in the field. I am the marketing and the management position. They look to see consistency for the type of heads in the zone, because we know that is an issue, and we do suggest that customers have the same type of heads in a zone so that the application is correct. But that's the extent of my knowledge on that.
Okay, great. And then so if people want more information about that, Michael, we can do the Resource Irrigation Association side and put some information up on irrigation.org. And so we'd be more than happy to try to get a specific answer for you on that a bit later as well. So let's keep that slide up for a few more seconds, Deborah, while people still, you know, if any questions pop up in their heads. But there was a question from Jonathan, Julius, I'll go ahead and ask you. It's about soil moisture sensors. We kind of talked about those for a little bit. And the question was, are they labeled right now? Can people go to a distributor and purchase those right now with the WaterSense label on them?
So to give a little bit of that timeline, I would say that, so we released the final specification in February. And we know that the process takes for testing upwards of a week or two. And we know that several manufacturers have at least sent their products to the testing facilities to be tested. Outside of that, so at least through my inbox, I have not seen that we have one that's been labeled yet, but I know that they are coming soon. So within the next, I don't want to necessarily guarantee within the next month, but definitely this summer, during the major irrigation season, you should start seeing them on shelves.
Great. That's fantastic. And you've got it. So have you, I'll save a question for you. I was going to ask you if you have heard any kind of interest from manufacturers on getting them labeled, but I can speak. I know that I've heard interest from manufacturers, so I'm sure you guys have as well.
Yeah, we did throughout this entire process. And just to kind of backtrack a little bit on the EPA process for labeling products, we work with industry organizations like the IA. We work with standards development organizations, manufacturers, and utility input as well. So it is very much a well-rounded group that is working on all of these product specifications. So we definitely had those manufacturers who were from the start very interested in helping to get a WaterSense labeled soil moisture-based controller.
There was also a question from Elvin regarding the pressure rating spray bodies and which states are what. And I can go through a quick list right here. Again, I don't want to spend too much time on this. But I'm going to be referencing my notes here. So this dates back to 2018. Vermont has it adopted. Let's see. Let's go to effective instead of adopted. So effective, Vermont is effective in 2020. Hawaii is effective in 2021. Colorado is effective in 2021. Washington State is effective in 2021. Massachusetts, effective in 2021. I'm sorry, 2022. And DC is effective in 2022. And then California was effective in 2020. So those are the states that we have. We're also seeing some more activity in different states where it's been introduced this year. I don't have that data in front of me. But we do know that there's been more and more introduced in the states as well. But it's not just irrigation, Julius. It's on the plumbing side too, where different states have really either mandated or incentivized the sale of WaterSense labeled technologies, toilet, showerheads, faucets, et cetera, in different states to really make a difference in saving water in those states as well.
Yeah, it really does. And we've talked with some of those agencies as well, both for indoor and outdoor.
We contact
with all of them.
So I know Colorado is one of the first states. You're talking about Colorado mandating pressurizing sprinklers. They were one of the first states to mandate the sale of WaterSense technologies inside the house, you know, way back when. So it was, they were at the forefront of all of that. So Deborah, I'm going to ask you real quick. Maybe I'll go to Julian next. Let's talk about the labeled controllers real quick. And Deborah, you can stop sharing your screen. We can move on from this. But you did talk a bit about WaterSense controllers in your study. What has the feedback been from both your staff or your service area on the usability is a bad word, but the effectiveness and how they've been used compared to the traditional clock and calendar systems in your service area?
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, customers, we have the one program that's a credit on the account, and then we have the another that's completely free to the customer, and we're going to come out and we're going to install it. And there's always some hesitation, learning new technology. We are a retirement community. So, but we do surveys for all of these installations, and we ask them, did you see a decrease in the quality of your lawn? You know, do you like this product? Would you recommend it? And by far, it's successful. People are happy with the product. Their lawns are not failing. They're, you know, still thriving underneath, you know, applying less water, which is really nice to get that feedback from our customers that they're just pleased, they're saving water, they're saving money, and it's convenient. So they get to set it and forget it, which is what a lot of customers want to do.
Have you found that there was a learning curve at all in your service area regarding the, because I feel like the technology developed by irrigation, I kid around some folks, we're in a renaissance, right? I remember when weather-based irrigation controllers were just a twinkle in the eye of manufacturers. And a lot of water providers were like, what is this technology? You're saying it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. I even know how it works or what it does. And now here we are where that's becoming a norm and we just get more and more technology. Has that learning curve been great in your service area or was it really just embraced?
It's been great. there was a learning curve, but there still is. We're still under a learning curve.
Yeah.
So, and it's just little nuances sometimes, like, you know, the ET, what, you know, for example, solar sink sensor, it has to be placed in full sun. It can't receive an hour of morning shade and an hour of evening shade because it changes the schedule based on that. So just getting those little tidbits of information out to the contractors, And when we go out, we, of course, look at the scheduling and make adjustments. And we have reached out to contractors to say, hey, you know, we noticed you making this, you know, you're programming it this way, you know, it should be programmed for this zone or things like that. So we do try and give the contractor feedback when possible. But yeah, we're still kind of under a learning curve.
You know, Gary brings up a good point. Have you seen flow sensors being used very much in your service area? Because that really is a good tool to control water and also detect leaks themselves.
Yeah, that's really exciting technology. And no, I haven't seen it utilized so far. We don't see too many flow sensors installed. So no. Not yet, yeah. But it is exciting that the technology is coming. We do have some AMI in our system, so we're also able to see leak detection through that.
And Julius, you talk to water providers and contractors and partners for the outdoor space all the time. So have you heard about, I'll ask the same thing from you, any kind of, concerns with the education hump on this technology is out there, but we really don't know how to use it. We need help on how to use it. Has that been a concern out there at all?
That has been a huge concern, especially when it comes to, like you've been discussing, the irrigation controllers, both on the installation side and on the just general use side, which is a lot of what we want to talk about with Sprinkler Spruce Up. So people, oftentimes they may buy a irrigation controller and just pop it on the wall, maybe set it up, maybe just put it into automated mode and not really think about putting it into that water saving mode or putting in a custom irrigation schedule. And that's usually one of the first steps we try to encourage to people is when you have these controllers, go into it and really put in that customized schedule and get it, make sure you have it at the right setting for each of your zones. Second to that is set it and forget it is almost what you want to do, but not quite. Because on like maybe a
just forget it just enough,
basis,
right, Julius? Yeah, just enough, right.
Just enough, you know, on at least a seasonal basis. And I know throughout the country, season, which month is the right season is going to be different, but you want to maybe adjust it to a little bit shorter, especially in those cooler months, or, you know, turn it off completely, especially if you're going to be dealing with those freezing temperatures and you don't need to run it. And then same thing for spring, when it starts to warm up, go through that, the sprinkler spruce up checkup and just make sure that whatever it's set to is right for your season. And the benefit of the WaterSense labeled controllers is they do have that seasonal adjustment. So rather than reprogramming for 20 minutes down to 10 minutes down to 5 minutes, you hit the seasonal adjustment and it'll usually automatically adjust that down for you, taking just a little bit more of that, getting a little bit closer to that set it and forget it. But like I said, not fully there, just almost.
Yeah, absolutely. And how do I phrase this? Have you heard of any concerns? This is a question for, I guess, Julius as well as Deborah. Have you heard of any concerns with implementing different technologies in the landscape? You know, we had a question here about soil moisture sensors and concern there with the different types of soil, either clay or loam and sand within the same property even. And, you know, if I talk to a manufacturer, you know, we're going to hear, yes, it'll work with these type of things. But, you know, when a new technology is on the market, there's some concerns where, you know, it may not work in certain instances. You know, you don't have to answer that question regarding the soil moisture sensor unless you want to. But more broadly, have you heard of these concerns in the past? We'll start with Julius and maybe Deborah. If you want to chime in, you can.
And I would say even in, you know, my short career so far, 5 years at WaterSense, we've heard a lot of different concerns around all of the different products from installation to ongoing usage. And one of the things I've heard with soil moisture sensors is just programming it correctly so that it's so that it's not going to interfere with if you do have something like a rain sensor or vice versa. So making sure that those are set up right. And with soil sensors, the other concern is the initial installation of calibrating it. So I could go on and on about a lot of the concerns. So I'll kind of leave it at those two. Those are the biggest ones I've heard.
Deborah, do you have any thoughts on that? I don't want to go without allowing you to share some thoughts.
So we don't deal with the soil moisture sensors yet. They haven't been picked up here. But with the water sense labeled controllers, I've found that some of the controllers are actually starting to address that. They'll ask what type of soil type is in the lawn, so it knows whether it's going to soak and cycle or not. And then we also look for what type of soil that is in that landscape so that we know, is it programmed correctly? Are they going to incur a lot of runoff if they run that full cycle, or do we need to do a soak and cycle and things like that? So,
you know, one of the other concerns that someone brought up was the compatibility of replacing an old sprinkler with a new sprinkler. And so you have an old sprinkler that was not pressure regulating, and then you have a new one that is. What is that compatibility, both in the system itself, but the control unit as well? And you know, I'll start by saying the irrigation industry has come a long way from the Wild West to what it is now, to trying to make sure that there are, you know, that these can talk to each other when you retrofit irrigation systems. But Julius, this has been a real concern for a while now, to make sure that the retrofits can play nice with older irrigation systems.
Yeah, it has. And at least for a lot of the messaging that we've talked about, is that if you do end up, especially if you have a lot of older spray heads and you do replace one with a water efficient spray head, to consider replacing that entire zone, because some of what you're going to be running into is that, and like you said, they've kind of dealt with it, but the hydraulics in the system and, you know, whether or not you're going to have consistent pressure throughout, and that's going to play into whether or not you have the right uniformity. So at least on our end, what we've definitely talked about is paying attention to the whole zone, even if it is just one spray head.
Yeah. It's like a Frankenstein's monster irrigation system, right? With the different components. And so, and it's, some may work, but some don't, but you need to work with your contractor and get contractors to make sure that the different technologies can work together, talk well together. And again, WaterSense is a great resource for that kind of information. And Deborah, even water providers could be a great resource on that as well. Correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Excuse me. So my third. So we have 5 minutes left. We're going to wrap up here in 5 minutes to make sure that we let our radio affiliates have their chance to wrap up as well. So I'm just kidding. We're not that important. Do you guys have any final thoughts? Deborah, let's start with you. Any final thoughts before we close today out?
If there are any irrigation contractors, manufacturers that, you know, haven't taken advantage of the WaterSense partnership, I fully recommend it. The resources are vast, and it's the way of the future. We know 50% of our water is going to landscape. We have to address it. So I encourage everybody to become a partner if you can.
And your experience has been very positive. So even if we have contractors or water providers, even manufacturers, distributors listening or watching right now, your experience has been very positive. So for a water provider perspective, so if you're a contractor in the area, a good question may be to go to the water provider and say, hey, have you partnered with WaterSense? Let's look at the opportunities here with WaterSense, because that would help that contractor out as well, correct?
Yes, and we do partner with several contractors for our grant-funded program. So.
Right, good. Julius, any thoughts?
Yeah, I want to, first off, thank you both for being with organizations that are WaterSense partners. And if anyone else is thinking about being a WaterSense partner, you can always contact us. It's watersense@epa.gov, and we can give you more information about that during sprinkler spruce up, especially for both contractors and homeowners. want everyone to think about going through their landscape and just looking for those little things that may end up causing you some water loss. And then one other thing I did want to touch on that we didn't quite get a chance to talk about today was other like non-irrigation practices to think about to save water. Things like adjusting your mowing height so that you're not cutting your grass too low, using mulch on some of your garden beds to help retain some of that moisture and keep the area a little bit cooler. And of course, adjusting your irrigation schedule so you're not watering as often. And we have all of these resources on our website and more, and really encourage everyone to check all of that out.
Yeah, and I'm sorry for not asking about that. That's absolutely right. You guys do look at the plant palette, right plant, right place. You look at mulching and right ways of mulching, not the volcano type of thing, as well as the mow height, the lawn height and everything else, which is great. Your website is epa.gov/watersense?
That's correct.
Perfect. See, I know, Julius. And you guys are also on social media, right?
That's true. And okay. Without taking too much time, I can put our contact information either on the screen
do that.
Or
we have a couple minutes.
Chat.
Great. Yeah. And so just search for WaterSense on Instagram, Facebook. You know, I know you guys have been active on those kinds of things in the past. Twitter, exactly. And at EPA WaterSense, Facebook EPA WaterSense, and then epa.gov/watersense. All that information is right there. So that's great. A lot of good resources. And then if you're interested in learning more about becoming a partner, email watersense@epa.gov, ask for Julius, and they can help you out there. So that's good. So good. You can stop sharing your slide, Julius. We're going to wrap up here now. So Julius and Deborah, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. That was a lot of fun. So personally, I would just like to say,
what a great,
this is my
trio
very
there,
last
Rob. What do you think about that? Those guys are great, aren't they?
Absolutely. And I think it's good for people to learn about the EPA and learn about what other water agencies do out in Florida, as much as they're doing that all across the country. Great information. We really want to thank John Farner and the Irrigation Association for letting us be a part of their webcast and carrying they are a sponsor of our show. And we certainly believe in what they do. And as most of our listeners know, our employer, the Toro Company, is one of the founding members of the Irrigation Association. So we're very proud to be related to those guys.
Yeah, and Julius Duncan was great. So was Deborah Burden from Citrus County, Florida. I'll tell you, we got to chase down Julius again. He'd be great on the on a Water Zone episode.
Absolutely. I'm sure his boss, who's been on our show before, Ms. Veronica Bledy, will allow him to come on. So we're good on that.
Great.
So don't forget go ahead.
The message was pretty clear, though, Rob. I mean, you know, homeowners and contractors, they talked a lot about for spring spruce up, right? But it doesn't matter.
Yep.
If you're an HOA, a city, a municipality, commercial property, whatever, all of my years of experience and yours together, put together, Rob, is too embarrassing to talk about how much time that is, but it really proves that spring sprinkler spruce upright, which is another word for maintenance, is so very important and can save lots of time and money through the irrigation season.
Well, it's just like your car. If you don't have, if your tires are in bad shape and your motors, you're not tuned up and things of that sort, your oil is low, your car's not going to do very well. So, yeah, maintenance is very, very important. And people really forget that because they think, gee, I bought all this expensive smart controllers and all this stuff and I just set it, forget it. Well, it's a nice way of saying that, but you need to make sure that the system stays in tip-top condition. Anything can go bad if you have a tilted sprinkler head, if you have a broken nozzle, if you have a clog, if you broken pipes, program's wrong. All of those things affect a perfect system, just like your car. You don't use the right oil, the right gas, the right everything, it's not going to ride good. So we're about at the end of our show. Again, we want to thank everybody for that. We have a nice guest coming on next week, Laura Larson. So everybody have a great week. And the thing that Chris and I always tell you to do and make sure you do is help keep our planet blue.
That's it, Rob. All right. Appreciate everybody for listening in and tuning in today. Come back next week. As Rob said, we'll have a great guest. And Rob, great evening to you, buddy.
You too. See you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
KCAA Loma Linda, 1050 AM, 106.5 FM, and now 102.3 FM.
AP News, I'm Tim McGuire. Hundreds of people attend the funeral of a 20-year-old black suburban Minneapolis man shot and killed.